Thanks for listening to RTE Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife Nic Cormick. This episode comes from our back catalogue and it was originally broadcast just after Corn Éireadh 2018 had taken place. Corn Éireadh is a Seán Nós competition which happens every year at an Irish language festival called Iarrachtas na Samhna. The competitors span all ages, men and women from all ends of the country. The winner that year was a brilliant singer called Máirín Chéilleachar. She'd come second in this competition 7 times before she actually won it in 2018. So a week after the competition, I sat down with Dr. Sheila Denver from Fionnuala agus Scoil na Gaeilge in Dublin City University, who's a fine singer and harpist herself, to talk about what exactly is Seán Nós and what makes a really good Seán Nós singer. And so to start, here's a little flavour of Máirín Chéilleachar's singing. This is her version of Aisling Gheal.
Aisling Gheal, the hlad tremnel me go rous a trelog.
So Sheila, I was at Corn Éireadh at the Iarrachtas a few weeks ago and I was in the audience and what happens is that everybody sings one song and then depending on the marks they get from the judges, some of them are called back to sing a second song. So I was trying to figure out what it is exactly that makes the judges call somebody back for a second song, what exactly they're looking for, because there were an awful lot of great singers there that night. And to me, you know, they could have called double the number back. I think they called 7 back in the end, but yeah, they could have called double that. So what are judges at a competition like Corn Éireadh looking out for?
Well, it's a big question and it's impossible to answer in a way. And I have to give you a disclaimer. I'm very happy that I'm not an adjudicator in Corn Éireadh because it's a very, very difficult job. And the other thing is that judges will often be looking for different things because everybody has a different aesthetic when they're listening and a different tastes, and some people would like a very tuneful voice, somebody else might be looking out for the words and the lyrics. Probably the most important thing that a judge would be looking out for, or anybody, or even just to look at it from a listener perspective, you want someone to tell you a story, and that's what Seán Nós is essentially. It's storytelling, sung storytelling. So the words are incredibly important. The music is equally important, but unless the story is told. And I think a feeling as well, it, like you said at the start, it's very difficult to explain it, what is Seán Nós. And we should be careful not to put it into a box and say it is A, B or C. But I think a listener or a judge or whoever gets a feeling from a song. And I think that they would be looking for somebody who understands what they're saying and really means it, and someone who can really get into the song. And then you all the other aesthetic things of the voice quality and tunefulness and use of ornamentation and having a natural voice. But again, it comes down to preference, because some people would like a very low chesty voice and some people would prefer a high voice. So it's a very interesting process, and the Corn itself, you know, is a very interesting thing to attend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, Máirín Chéilleachar, who won this year, she was famously second place 7 times, I think, in Corn Éireadh. So it shows you as well that a lot depends on what happens in that room on that night in
absolutely
front of those 3 people.
And I think for a lot of the people that sing in Corn Éireadh, the participation is a big thing for them, and it's such an honour to even get that far, because before you get to Corn Éireadh there's a process you have to go through. You can't just put your name forward. You have to win Corn the Mon or Corn the Varan. Before that you have to win another competition, so there's a big process that you have to go through. And I suppose Máirín Chéilleachar is exemplary in a way, and as an example for her own students, and she's a wonderful teacher and she's given so much to her own students. And participation is what Máirín I suppose puts higher than anything else, and she's a very, very deserved winner. She has a fantastic voice and wonderful songs, and like I said, a wonderful teacher as well.
Well, going a bit more generally, looking back a bit, I mean, people always sing, they've always sung in every culture. So, you know, is it silly to even try to trace back the origins of Seán Nós, or can you, or, you know, just was it always just
you
there?
Can to a point. It's a difficult thing to do. I suppose, like you said, it is one of the most basic human needs is to sing. And Seán Nós singing, as we call it now, is essentially a solo, unaccompanied, traditional singing tradition in the Irish language. And it's a very expressive type of singing and very emotive and quite unusual maybe for us now in a modern context. It's probably one of the only times you really listen to the voice, the solo voice alone. And now it's not always unaccompanied. We might get to that later because people do like to do different things with it now. It is very difficult to define and it's ever changing. It's constantly changing and then you have different regional styles. But very basic things would be the solo unaccompanied song, very natural use of voice, particular use of ornamentation. The voice is used sometimes in various different ways with the use of nasalization. And again, it always comes back to telling the story of the song and an understanding of the song.
Aber Oran.
Yeah. You say a song, you don't sing it.
Yeah. What is nasalization?
It's a type. It's when you sing, you don't just sing with your mouth, you sing with your entire body. Mm. So when you use a nasal form, it's very common in Connemara, and you could think of singers like Josie Hyun Jack who would have had a very nasal style of singing. So it's where the sound comes from. So if we compare it perhaps to an opera singer who uses the diaphragm, and it comes from the stomach and from the lungs, and it's a very big sound, whereas you could think Shannos might come from more of a place in the head sometimes. And again, there are lots of different types of vocals, but you use it in a particular way. And I think natural voice, untrained, has always been the way Shannos is viewed. But that's not necessarily so either. There's a huge spectrum of types of voice, types of singing. But it comes back, it's very difficult to separate the singer from the songs themselves. You associate certain songs with certain people. And it's a very undefinable thing. The connection you have with the song, and I feel that as a singer myself, and it's something that might change. You might hear a song once and you just really want it, something to it, you want to have it. Mm. And then some of them are slow burners, but you always have a relationship with them. Mm. And it's important as well in the way that your life circumstances change as you grow older. And there are certain songs that speak to you at certain times in your life, which I find very interesting. And I suppose one of the big questions we have is the relevance of this type of singing in a modern life, Shannos, old style. Sometimes I don't really like the term itself because it's a fairly newly coined term because it goes back to early 20th century. It's quite a revivalist way of looking at it because before that it was just singing. There was no other type of singing because we didn't have radio, or when you think of all that the sounds we're hearing now, you can hear anything from any part of the world with a click of a button. So trying to figure out how Shannos has a relevance today, and for me it's the connection with the past, it's the connection with people, it's connection with human emotion. And people change, or times change, but their feelings don't. Mm. And you can see that when I sing Donal Og, I am singing a song from possibly the 17th century, and it's the exact same feelings that you have when you're heartbroken that girl had. Want to head, because want to hear ye, want to in yalach yalas and yirianim, the verse that tells of this young man taking everything from her. So that will always be relevant, and it's a connection with the language, a connection with the song, connection with the history that's important.
Mm. You know, we're talking here, you mentioned that the title Shannos, and we're talking about it as if it's a sort of a single set thing, but of course it's not, because just as in instrumental music, there are regional differences. And of course, you know, the stylistic differences from one person to another or from one singer to another. Does the regional accent come out in singing as much as it does in tune playing?
It does, because it's intrinsically linked to the language. So if you compare it to a dialect, the Irish speaker from Cork is going to sound very different to the Irish speaker from Donegal. And the songs are very much informed, and singing is very much informed by the language itself. So that's the best way to describe it in a way. And again, it's very important not to be too prescriptive with styles. You do have a Donegal style, a Connemara style, Moose Gray style, Kerry style, Rajaran style, and other things that emerge. But the individual is always really important. It starts with an individual style, which is then kind of going out maybe into a family style if we're looking at it in the traditional way of transmission. And then outward again, you're looking at the style in the community, and then possibly the county. And then where does that sit within the national stage? If you listen to a Connemara singer, you can't but notice the melismatic ornamentation. So that's a very high level of ornamentation. It might be simpler than in Donegal, not necessarily. And again, the melodies as well, the melodies in Connemara tend to be within an octave a lot of the time. If you look at some of the melodies from Munster, they're a lot wider, broader. So again, that the individual will decide what to do with that. So there is definitely stylistic regional styles and individual styles. But, you know, somebody comes along then and then turns it all upside down.
Well, maybe instead of talking about it, maybe we should we should listen to it. There are some of the great Shano singers from the past, and we'd obviously need a series of programmes to talk about them.
Absolutely.
All. But you've brought in music from some of your favourites. Let's start with Dearg Ó Cathain. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about Dearg Ó Cathain.
My all-time favourite, Dearg Ó Cathain. When I was talking there about the individual and the individual singer within a style, Dearg had an incredible way of just twisting a tune a little bit and making it his own. So Dearg was from Connemara, but he moved to Rachar in 1935 when a lot of families came up to relocate in Racharin and to create a Gaeltacht and to start on a new life. And then he moved to Leeds and spent most of his life in Leeds. And I suppose one of the reasons Dearg Ó Cathain came to prominence is that Sean O'Riordan was very taken with him. And he was a singer on Reichardt and Riady, on RTE in the 60s. And he brought Dearg, I suppose, to that national stage and brought Shannos to a national stage. But he is just an amazing singer with an amazing voice, very strong, very convinced of what he's doing and convinced of his own individual style within the larger regional style of Connemara.
And you've chosen a song that many people might recognise.
Yeah, Oro Sé de Bheatha Bhaile. And the reason I picked this one is because we all have Oro Sé de Bheatha Bhaile in our heads, and we might have learned it in school or various places. But Dearg just does something tiny to the chorus that is really just him, and it just stands out. And that's what he used to do with his songs, is just change the melody slightly to make it his own.
Or oh, she deva who alla, or oh, she deva who alla, or oh, she deva who alla, nishit yakun tavura. A ween ladies never kuvekin, maramayin goni yashachten, grain you wills the milti ganski, tia the four good fun at valley. Or oh, she deva who alla, or oh, she deva.
Dearg Ó Cathain there with his version of Oro Sé de Bheatha Bhaile, and I'm here on the Rolling Wave with Dr. Sheila Denver, who's talking me through some of the finer points of Shannos singing. From the other side of the country, Nicholas Tobin from, well, not the other side, I was thinking Connemara, mm-hmm. but from south of Rockhearn, you have Nicholas Tobin from Unrhyne in Waterford. He was an interesting man as well.
Very, and apparently he had a huge repertoire, up to 300 songs in his repertoire. And this is something we need to consider when we think of these singers. Nicholas was born in 1928, for example, and Dearg was born in 1922. So it was really functioning as an oral tradition then. So they were listening and learning, not relying usually on written sources. So they had an amazing capacity for memory and storing songs. And Nicholas was one of those singers. Máistead Rian na Hóránaíochta in Éirigh, and like you said, he was from Nádaise, from Unrhyne, gan de Fort Lauderdale, and like Dearg, he was a very individual singer and an exemplary singer. You'll hear the strength in his voice, the range in his voice is very, very spectacular as well, how he can go from the very high to the very low. And he's been very inspirational for singers from Ring in County Waterford, which is a very small Gaeltacht. But again, the culture, just like Rácharan, is very, very strong. There are many singers, young singers learning, coming up. And I think it's wonderful to have people like Nicholas to look up to.
Mountain dawning is metal gohen. Shadachan sagnoig van erom satlim. Vi groer al nacht shila horsam. Is bavinge kjol, nane kjol te shim.
Niklas Tobin there singing Ochel. Sheila, we've talked about the men, the male singers, I suppose, of a certain era, but there are also lots of women, fine female singers of the past. What about, for example, Roisin Ní Óráin from Donegal?
Of course, and that's the wonderful thing about singing is that it was a remit for men and for women. It was very much an equal, and you'll see that even now in Corny Rea, that's always quite balanced. And even in the young people that are playing and are singing, you'll see that it's very balanced, men and women singing together. And of course, the women were recorded as well, which is wonderful. Like Roisin Ní Óráin, she was recorded by Radio Éireann in 1953. Princess O'Connellan recorded her, and it's wonderful and very important to have these recordings, because in a way we're living in the century where everything, or last century, in the 20th century, where everything changed, where radio came in, where TV came in, and lots of folk collectors, folk music collectors, understood that and went out and collected from people like Colm O'Cuia and from Joe Aineu, from Roisin Ní Óráin. Another woman who we do have a wonderful CD, Dora Alla, a beautiful name, Moránia Ní Honnacha from An Cruach an Inzruan, and she was a wonderful singer too. You'll hear her voice is quite high pitched, quite a resonant high pitched voice, and she was very well respected. She won the Bun Oid at the Éireachtas before it became Corny Riada. So Corny Riada became Corny Riada in 1972. And before that, there were competitions at the Éireachtas, and Moránia was one of those winners. Máire Anionaí Ghonachán sin le Unawán on CD sin Dora Alla. Sheila, as I said, there were a mix of ages at Corny Rea this year, and lots of men, lots of women. So I would take from that, having been in the room, that Seanó's singing in a very healthy state. Is that right? Is that how it is? Are lots of people learning songs? I mean, I know Maureen Chéilachar, for example, teaches. Yeah.
Is it being taught?
It is. And it is as healthy as it can be. It will forever be intrinsically linked with the language. So you have to look at the state of the language to look at the state of the songs. But I've been hearing since I was 2-3 years of age that Irish is dead. And I'm still here, and I'm still very much living my entire life through the medium of Irish language, and Seanó singing is a very important part of my life. And the changes we've seen over the last 100 years or so, the changes in transmission have been very, very, I suppose, poignant in a way, because people used to learn from their families. They used to learn from their neighbours. They used to learn Erlek and Sally. They used to learn at home. But life has changed, and we don't live our lives in that way anymore. But other things have come in. So there are different ways of learning, and there are lots of wonderful, wonderful initiatives around the country. Take, for example, on Cronog in Donegal, on Gaelachadov up until recently in Connemara, Aisling Yell, which is the body in Moose Grade that teach to young children, like Maureen Chéilachar would be part of that. I learned through the Gaelachadov, and I learned from Máire Fhíochmhar Ní Ghrianán. And one of my favourite things to do of a Tuesday afternoon was to run around a hall for 20 minutes in the freezing cold and in and out of the Siomaranga to learn from Máire. So it has changed, but because people have, I suppose, rallied in a way, they are teaching, they're taking it into a more, I suppose, official capacity, because the understanding is there that the transmission is not happening in the way it used to. Now, it still is. There are some people who have learned from their parents, and that is a very special thing. But these initiatives have, I suppose, brought other singers to the fore. And you saw people like that in Corny Rea who have learned in many different ways. People like Orlinny Ina would have learned the way I learned. Nelni Cronin learned from Maureen Chéilachar. Dimnic Macalabrisa would have gotten songs from his family, but also from the wider community. So it is as healthy as it can be. It's, again, a very difficult question to answer.
In terms of the songs, over the past few weeks here on The Rolling Wave, we've spoken to we had Seamus Maguire on 1 week, and he was talking about finding new tunes in the Greer collection, and some of the tunes in that collection would be well known and others maybe not so well known. So are there still songs, you know, being found at the moment in collections, or does that occur?
It does. And I think a lot of the younger singers, people like Dimrik Macalavrida, Salog Nichan the One, other singers are doing that work, searching in archives. One of the saddest things about some of the collections we have of Shano songs is that they were written down without the notes, without the tunes. So we have many, many, many sets of lyrics.
Interesting.
But there are other collections that, and some are available online. The Daigan collection, for example, that, you know, you can hear some of the tunes of songs that aren't really sung. I think that's really, really important, because we can get into, just like the music, you can get into the same old of singing the same songs over and over again. And people like the familiar, and people like to sing the familiar. But you have to break out of that sometimes and go and search and possibly compose, and possibly compose tunes or use old tunes and set them to some of these new songs. So that is work that really should be encouraged. And whether that be unaccompanied song or with accompaniment, it depends on the singer themselves and what they want to do with it. But there are a lot of possibilities there. They've done an awful lot in Scotland, for example. They have a huge archive, Tubberan Dulchish, and singers like Julie Fowlis, and a lot of the Scottish Gaelic singers, they take those songs and they, I suppose, reimagine them and recreate them. So there are possibilities if we let ourselves and if we do the work as well.
Let's listen to another song. So this is Dimrik Macalavrida, whom you just mentioned. What would you like to play from him?
So this is Dimrik singing on Drying on Down, which is a really, really beautiful love song.
Sheelan Kate Bangor Ma Nuera Olam Lian Het yet rian she's theme Nuera smuinem Ere goralam.
Dimrik Macalavrida from Donegal there with Drying on Down. Sheila, many of the songs deal with the big universal themes, love, life, loss, the whole gamut. But there's also, of course, a lot of humour. It's a big part of the tradition.
Of course, because underpinning the Irish language song tradition is this concept of gyantri, gultri, suantri, all the human emotion. And we have some very, very sad songs and some very, very lighthearted, very, very funny songs. You know, it's kind of a more of a chance for a sing song or people to come in. So you've all kinds of themes, funny drinking songs, or like Sean of Rish de Laher, Sean of the Leather Trousers, Trukul Vegavroha, some of the Connemara ones, Kyle Honarigids, for example. And sometimes the interesting thing I find often about the Shano songs is that although some of them are humorous, they often have a message as well. For example, on Shandana and Shandana Dota, is about a very funny song about a young woman married to an older man, and she's very unhappy. I want to go off with the young men. And although it's very humorous, there's a message there as well. And it was, I suppose, a way of saying things that you weren't allowed to say in real life, because you get away with things in song that you don't in speech. And a song, when you're in a performance, you just go into that moment and the whole community goes into that moment with you, and you can leave it there. There's an allowance. You're allowed to do something. You're allowed to express yourself in a way that you can't in normal speech. So there are lots of various songs that are very humorous.
And are those some of the humorous songs? I mean, for example, Sean of Rish de Laher, the Leather Trousers suggests it's not the oldest song in the world.
Yeah, and that's the biggest problem with the word Shannos. It's what is Shannos? What is old style? And like I was telling you earlier, it's quite a newly coined term. So the first, I suppose, time we really heard that was at the start of the last century, around the early 1900s. Again, when people were questioning and asking and reviving and wondering what it is to be Irish and what it means to sing a traditional song. So the word Shan is very problematic in that sense. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's more about a style of singing and a way of expressing yourself. And if the songs are in a traditional mode or in a way that is connected in some way to a song 200 or 300 years ago, that is a Shano song for me, but it might be something different for somebody else. But like you said, a lot of these references, and you'll hear particularly songs from the 19th century and further along than that, you'll hear lots of English words coming in sometimes as well, not necessarily macaronic songs, but the odd English word thrown in here and there, which suggests that they're not terribly, terribly old either.
Geraldine Branagh there singing on Sean Dinne. Sheila, Shano singing is typically unaccompanied. We've been talking about that. But many of today's singers are singing these songs with accompaniment. And that's something that started sort of back in the late 60s, 70s.
Yeah, Sean O'Riordan had a lot to do with that with his ensemble, Cool Thuddy Cool. And in a way, it was probably the first time Shano's singing was taken to that national stage. Now, there was accompaniment sometimes with songs before that, perhaps in a more drawing room style in the early 1900s. And looking back, there is, I suppose, a premise for it. The harpers would have used vocals. They sang their own songs while they played the harp. There's evidence also that Raftery might have used fiddle drones while he sang. So it's not totally essentially unaccompanied song, but the way we see it now is that Shano singing is unaccompanied in its most traditional way. But from the 1960s onwards, with the coming of Cool Thuddy Cool, and that opened up a whole other sphere for people. And in a way, it was being very honest, because I heard Martin Hayes say once, you can't pretend you don't hear things or you haven't heard things. So when you think of the 1960s and the 70s, and you know, everybody at that stage had access to other songs and other styles of singing and other music, and so there was a need there to do something modern with the songs. And then after Cool Thuddy Cool, then out of which came the Chieftains, you have Skara Brae, Clonard, Alton, all of these bands and groups who took very traditional old songs, centuries old, and reinterpreted them to suit themselves and travelled the world with them. And it is an amazing thing when you do that, and I've done that myself with my own group, Leadon. People react. It's amazing how people all over the world react to songs that they don't understand, but they get some sort of meaning from them, whatever it is. So again, it comes back to a feeling you get from a song, a way you can portray it. But this concept of the accompanied song has been very important, I think. And it's also important to say, I think, that there's space for all of it. It's not necessarily mutually exclusive. You can do, if you can let it breathe and let it do its own thing. Not everyone would agree with me on this, but the way I see it and the way I need to, I suppose, to sing, I need sometimes to sing accompanied and sometimes to sing unaccompanied.
Dúlamán there sung by Clonard. Ideas of innovation in Shannos. Of course, it's true to say that anyone who sings a song is adding their own sort of personal touch to it. So everybody is an innovator in their own song. But there are also young singers who are trying out, sort of experimenting with things, I suppose, in their singing. People like Salóghnaí Sheanavoin. Tell me a little bit about her.
Salóg is a wonderful singer from Dublin, but from Connemara as well. Her father is a wonderful Shano singer, Padraig Kenawan from Connemara. And I really enjoy Salóg's perspective on Shano. She's very, very traditional in one way, but then she sometimes does very extraordinary and unusual things with the songs. She sings a lovely version of Ban na Leanaí with her own piano accompaniment, which is so different to anything I've ever heard, and it really speaks to me. And she also sings with Ensemble Éireadh, who are a very innovative band and very creative in the way they approach things. And there are other people. I mean, we have Iarló Linards and lots of other singers who do that. Dimrick as well. Dimrick Macalibriza, again, can do both. He sings accompanied sometimes, and then he has a very deep interest in chordal structures and how to bring Seanos and chords together and singing chorally as well. He has a choir in Belfast and in Donegal. So there are so many different ways of portraying it. And like you said, this idea that every time you sing a song, it's going to be different anyway, because it's an oral tradition and it's not like you're singing a prescribed text or as you would if you were singing classical music. So the premise is there for it, for that innovation and for that creativity. But again, we have to allow ourselves to do that. And there are different levels of it and different aesthetics. For some people, they will love a four-part, five-part harmony. Someone else might just like a drone. Someone else might like it unaccompanied. But there is space for all of it, and it will speak differently to different people.
Salud ni Chanoin there singing that song Bana Lana. Well, we're close to the end here, Sheila. Thank you very much for being with us. But there was one other singer that you mentioned earlier, and she's a favourite of yours, the beautiful voice of Etna Ní Uachtaráin. And she was a very innovative artist as well, wasn't she?
Absolutely. She's probably one of the only singers who stops me in my tracks. If I'm driving and she comes on the radio, I always go, God, who's that? She just has one of those voices that just, for some reason, speaks to me, and she cuts through straight to the core of the text of the song and the story. And her voice quality is just so beautiful. And I'm very inspired by Etna because, again, she was able to do both. She was very traditional in one way, did a lot of work on her own area and gathering songs of Uriel, as her sister Páirceann Ní Uachtaráin has done. And that work that Páirceann does is so crucial and so important for young singers. And it's important to allow young singers maybe to take some of those songs that people like Páirceann have collected and to transmit them then in a way that's maybe more natural or a way that they enter the tradition. But Etna worked in that way as well, and she had a great interest in the music of Uriel. And one of the reasons I love her singing as well, Seanó singing doesn't belong to anybody. It doesn't belong to Irish speakers. It doesn't belong to Gaeltacht people. It doesn't belong to non-Gaeltacht people. It doesn't belong to anybody. And everybody is allowed to have a part of it or be part of it. And someone like Etna is very inspirational because she went and she looked for the music of her own locality and did very beautiful things with them. But then she did seamlessly move into the new and the creative in her own compositions. And they were very based on Seanos or traditional song or traditional music. But they were her songs were very creative in the way she presented them to the world. And she was a huge loss, and of all the people I'd love to meet, it would have been Etna, and I would love to have had a sing-song with her. But her songs and her voice have always had a huge impact on me.
The very special voice of Etna Ní Uachtaráin there with a song called Brúach Chun Réamha. Thanks again for listening to RTÉ Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast. For rights reasons, the music tracks in these podcasts are shorter than in the original broadcasts. So if you want to hear the full version, just visit the Rolling Wave homepage on rte.ie/radio1. This programme was first broadcast on 18th November 2018. Till the next time, Gura Míle Maithigh agus slán.